Okay, we'll just continue here from the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin, just reviewing what we did yesterday. We have the interaction between Rav Yonatan and Ben Azai. Rav Yonatan presents him with this issue, which is that the Torah tells us about a Nevelat Behema Torah, about a Nevelat Behema Tmeya, as well as a Nevelat Chaya Tmeya. What we don't have is Nevelat Chaya Torah. We don't have any idea how we know that that is Tameh. So Ben Azai gives an attempt at an answer. It's rejected. And then he asked, what did Rabbi Yishmael say about this? And then we presented the idea or the limud that Rabbi Yishmael had suggested. And that's what we left off with yesterday, which is, Namti lo v'chi yamut mina behema zu behema tmeya. Shehilem lochla zu behema Torah. Lamadnu, chaya b'chlal behema. We have one principle, which is, chaya is a subcategory of behema. U'behema b'chlal chaya. We have a second principle, which is that behema is a subcategory of chaya. I mean, basically, they are interchangeable in that sense. Then we have Chaya Torah, Bechlal Behema Torah. Chaya Torah is a subset of Behema Torah, and Chaya Tmeya, Bechlal Behema Tmeya, is also a subset of Behema Tmeya. Behema Tmeya, Bechlal Chaya Tmeya. Behema Tmeya is a subset of Chaya Tmeya. Behema Torah, Bechlal Chaya Torah. So now we've solved our problem in terms of finding where do we know that a Chaya Torah, its Nevela, is Mitama, is all you have to know is that if a Behema Torah, if its carcass is a nevela, then certainly a chaya Torah will also be mitame nevela. The question, which we'll get to now in a second, is, okay, then what do we need all of these parallels for? What limudim are we going to learn out of it? Well, Jonazeh Amarli, Ben Azai responded to me after I told him what Rabbi Yishmael said, Chavala Ben Azai, Shaloshimeshit Rabbi Yishmael. Says, woe is me, Ben Azai, Talmid Batik Kamoni, that didn't spend enough time with Rabbi Shmuel, I could have learned so much more, I would have known this limud. So now the Gemara goes back and breaks down the Braita into component parts and discusses each one of them. The first of which is Chaya Bechlal Behema Aminolan. How do you know that Chaya is a subset of Behema? Dichdiv. This is found in Parshat Re'eh. When it goes through the kosher animals, it says Zotayma Asher Tochelu. These are the animals that you can eat. Then it lists the animals that you can eat. Shor, six Avim, which are Behemot. But in that list included also are the Ayal Tzvi V'Yachmur. The Ayal Tzvi V'Yachmur are Chayot. And they're listed under the heading of Zotah Be'ema. That shows you that HaKetzad Chaya B'Chlal Be'ema is a subset, a subcategory of Be'ema. Now the opposite way around. Be'ema B'Chlal Chaya. How do we know that Be'ema is a subset of Chaya? Minolon Dichtiv. Because it says in Parshat Shmini, again, when the list of the kosher animals, it says Zotah Chaya Shetuchedu. But these are the chayot that you can eat. Mikola beima shalaretz kol mefreset parsa. So when it asks, it gives a header of zot chaya, and then it goes ahead and explains to you any animal that has a split hoof and zmalei gerva, it chews its cud, but it uses the header of chaya, and then goes on to seem to give the simonim of a behema. So over here you see that behema is a subset or a subcategory of chaya. So haketzad must be that behema bichlal chaya. So that was the header of the Braita. So now we got the source for the header of the Braita, which is that Chaya is Bechlal Behema, and Behema is Bechlal Chaya. Now, what about the individual statements? What does it mean that a Chaya Torah Bechlal Behema Torah? What do we mean that a Chaya Torah is a subset of Behema Torah? The Simanim. Now, truthfully, as Rashi points out, you could learn out, we learn out multiple things from these. The Braita just brings an example, and now we're going to bring an example of one for each category. But we actually learn out multiple things, including over here when we say Chaya Torah Bechlal Behema Torah, the thing that we learn out of there is about the fact that it's Nevela is Mitama. Nevela of Chaya Torah is Mitama. We learn that out of a Behema Torah. But over here, the Braita gives another example, which is the Simanim. The Simanim of Mafris Parsa and Malei Geira are only mentioned by the Behema. That we just saw that. The Tirmid says, Asher Mikol Behema Ashal Aretz Kol Mafres Parsa. Nevertheless, they apply also to Chayot. How do we know that? Because Chaya is a subset of Behema. So next, Chaya Tmeya Bichlal Behema Tmeya. What is it relevant for? Laharva'a, for Kilayim. When it comes to Kilei Behema, the Torah only mentions the term Behema, not Chaya. So again, it mentions Behema, not Tohura or Tmeya. It could be either. It could be Torah or Tmeya. Again, you could have learned out Chaya Torah, the first line that we had in the right, Chaya Torah, we need to learn out of Behema Tmeyas for the same reason also, the Harba'ah, for Kilayim. How do I know that Chaya also has application by Kilayim? That's because Chaya is a subset of Behema. So Chaya Tmeya will have the same din as a Behema Tmeya, just like a Chaya Torah will have the same din of a Behema Torah. And if Kilayim is only mentioned, Kilei Behema is only mentioned by Behemot, It will equally apply to chayot. If you have different species that you're trying to crossbreed, there'll be an iser of kilayim that applies to chayot tehorot as well as chayot tmeyot. Behema tmeya, bichlal, chayat tmeya. The fact that a behema tmeya is a subset of a chayat tmeya, look at the rabbi. That we need for rabbi. Rabbi, we mentioned yesterday when we were discussing the limud of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, we said we need the limud of Rav Yitzchak to tell us, don't only learn out the din of rabbi from here. We need to learn out other dinim. This is the din of rabbi that we mentioned yesterday, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Omer Ekre Ani Chaya. I would have just said that it includes a Chaya. Behema Lama Nemra. I said, why do you have a Behema mentioned? Now the Parsha that he is speaking about is the Korban Olivia raid. It's found in Vayikra Perakei. By the Korban Olivia raid, it says that a person who comes into contact with a Nevelat Chayat Mea or Nevelat Behema Temea. Someone who comes into contact with them is Chayav a Korban Olivia raid. We don't know what he's chayav for. Coming into contact with Tumah, there is no restriction in coming into contact with Tumah. So how do we know what the problem is that you have to bring a Korban Olev Yoreid for? So in the Parsha, it mentions that you come into contact with two items. One is a Chaya Tmeya, and one is a Hema Tmeya. So Rabbi says, the first one that's mentioned is Chaya Tmeya. Says, Ekra Ani Chaya. I already have, the Pasuk says Chaya Tmeya. Behema Lama Nemra. Why is Behema mentioned? Once I know that Chayat Tmeya is problematic, I automatically know that Behema Tmeya is also problematic, because we just said Behema and Chaya are subsets of each other. So why is it said? Nemerkan Behema Tmeya. It mentions Behema Tmeya here by Korban Olev Yoreid. Ben Nemer Lahalan, it says in Parshat
Tzav, it says, Benefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei, b'tumat adam, o b'behemat mea, o b'chol sheketz tamei, b'chol mibzar zevach ha-shlamim asher l'ashem, v'nechveta nefesh ahi mea mea. This is talking about behemat mea that's mentioned in the Pasuk. It's talking about anybody who consumes kodashim, shlamim, after they have become tamei. So it's talking about tumat kodesh in the context of coming into contact with a behemat mea.
It mentions there behemat mea. So malahalan tumat kodesh. What is the problem in Parshat
Tzav?
Problem is that it comes tamei, and then he wants to eat kodesh. That's the problem. He came tamei, and now he wants to eat kodesh. Afkan tumat kodesh. So to hear by the korban oleh veyorei, that is the problem. So that's the problem. Is not that you came into contact with tumah. Coming into contact with tumah is not an isur, especially for Yisrael. There's no problem with coming into contact with the tumah. So what's the problem by korban oleh veyorei? You came into contact with Tumah, then you did something. What's the then you did something? Then you either entered into the Mikdash, or you ate Kodesh. But how do I know that? That's not mentioned in the Parsha of Korban Olah, right? That comes from this Gzeirah Shavah that Rabbi creates between Behemat Meyah mentioned by Korban Olah, right? And the Behemat Meyah mentioned by the Parsha
Tzav
that says that we're talking about Kodesh. Well, how does he have a Gzeirah Shavah? How does he have these words be extraneous? That's because in the Parsha of Korban Olah V'Yoreid, it mentions both Chayat Meya and Behemat Meya. Well, Chayat Meya, once I know Chayat Meya, I don't need to know Behemat Meya. That makes Behemat Meya extraneous. If that's extraneous, then I can learn that limud from Behemat Meya by Korban Olah V'Yoreid over to the Behemat Meya by Parshat
Tzav.
Why is it extraneous?
Because it already says Chayat Meya. And we already know that Chaya and Behema are subsets of each other. So if I know Chaya Tmeya, I already know Behema Tmeya. That was the principle established by the Braita, that Chaya and Behema are each subsets of each other. Right now, we have one more left, which is Behema Torah, Bichlal Chaya Torah. What is that for? What's Behema Torah as being a subset of Chaya Torah? What do we learn from that? So the Gemara says, Litzira, to learn about creation. Why is that important? Titnan, we have a Mishnah. Hamapelet, this is talking about a woman who miscarries, and what is discharged from the woman is a min behema, chayav of, an animal of some sort, a bird or fowl of some sort, bent meim, bent orim, whether they're kosher or non-kosher animals, im zachar, teshev lezachar. If it's a male, whatever this being is that she's discharged, then she sits like a zachar, as if she had given birth to a zachar. A zachar requires 7 days of tumah, and 3 days of Tara, 40 days in total. And if it's a Nekeva, if she discharges a female, Teshev the Nekeva, then she has the Tumah, the days of Tumah of a Nekeva, which are 14 days of Tumah, 66 days of Tara, total of 80. Ani Yodua, if she doesn't know what it is, can't discern whether it's male or female, Teshev b'zachar unenikeva. She has to sit both for a zachar, a male, and a female. Divrei Rabbi Meir, you take the chumro to both of them. Chumro to both of them means that you sit for 14 days of tumah, and then you have a total of 40 days, meaning that the remaining 26 days, you'll have the tara. You don't get the full 33 days of tara, only 26 days of tara, till you reach day 40. So you take the chumrot of the nizachar and the chumrot of the nekeba, divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the position of Rabbi Meir. Now, where does Rabbi Meir's position derive from? Rabbi Meir says that anything in creation that has the word yitzur, yitzira, written by it, that is all one category. Well, since by Adam it says, by Yitzer, Hashem created Adam, therefore, of course, if she discharges, if not pellet, she has a miscarriage with regards to a human being, of course she's Tmeah, whether it be for Zachar and Akeva. But by animals also, we find the term, by Yitzer, that Hashem uses the same term, by Yitzer, by animals. And we do find it by birds, we also find it by Chayot, we do not find the term, by Yitzer, by Behemot. And that is what Rabbi Meir, that's what we're going to need it for. We're going to have to say, Behemah Torah b'chal chayat Torah l'yitzirah. So the Torah mentions the term Vayitzer, that Hashem created the chayot, but it doesn't say Vayitzer, that term of creation by Behemot. How do I know that Behemot are also under that category, under that umbrella of Yitzirah? And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, if a woman miscarries such an animal, therefore she would be Tmeah, Tumat Leida. That we know because Behemah Torah b'chal chayat Torah. Liyitzira. V'chachamim amrim, kol she'enu mitzirat adam, eno vlad. It's not human, it's not considered a birth of any sort, and therefore you don't have any tumat leida. So now, the Gemara ends off with a line here, and Shaul's question might be answered by this line. Depends who you learn like. Ula Rabbanan, haikra lomali. What do we need that pasuk for, according to the Rabbanan? So, kuloi rabbi hu da'ata. It's all used for rabbi. This is the Girsa of Rashi. Girsa of Rashi is that this question does not relate to the previous Gemara. And, as Shaul said, well, what do the Chachamim do with that issue of Behemah Torah, Bichlal Chayat Torah? The answer is, we don't know. We don't have an answer there. Meaning that we don't have the information that will tell us what they do with it. But we had Rabbi Meir, and that's it. We leave it behind. Nothing to do with the Rabbanon here. The Rabbanon being referenced by the Gemara over here, are the Rabbanon in our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili differentiated between Tehorah and Tmeah, whereas the Tanakam did not differentiate. We asked what was the reasoning of the Tanakam, and we brought the Hekesh between Behemah Torah and Behemah Tmeah. Then we asked what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And then we brought down the Pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak, and then the Pasuk of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We said, oh, what do we need the Pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak for, after we know Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak's Pasuk? The Gemara said in yesterday's daf, we needed to teach you, don't just learn like Rabbi, also learn like the limud of Rabbi Yossi Aglili out of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So now the Gemara comes back and asks, according to Rashi, what do the Rabbanon, meaning the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what does he do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak? What does he do with that Pasuk? What's his limud out of the Pasuk? The answer of the Gemara is, Kulei Kedrabi Ato. They use it all for Rabbi's limud. They use it all for Rabbi's limud and nothing else. Meaning that instead of like Rabbi Yossi Aglili who says we use it for Rabbi's limud as well as my limud to separate between Behemah Torah and Behemah Tmeah, we only use it for the limud of Rabbi. That would be the answer. That's the way the Gemara reads according to Rashi. That how do I know by Karban Olev V'Yoreid that the violation that you're chayav a Karban Olev V'Yoreid for is for eating Taharot and entering into the Mikdash? I know that from the Gzeira Shava a Behemat Me'ah, between the Korban Olah V'Yoreid to the Behemat Me'ah that's found
in Parshat Tzav.
That's the limud of Rabbi. So that comes out of that Pasuk, which we have in yesterday's daf. That's where Nachman Yisrael brought. Nefesh, ki tigah b'chol tamei, o b'nivlat chayat me'ah, o b'nivlat Behemat Me'ah, o b'nivlat sheretz tamei. That's the Pasuk that we're using, because there it says, again, chayat me'ah and Behemat Me'ah, which according to this Breita would be unnecessary. And that's why we have the extra Behemat Me'ah. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Tosafot, you look at the top Tosafot right away, as on Rashi. First of all, why did the Gemara wait all the way till now to discuss the Rabbanan's usage of the Pasuk of Nachman Yitzchak? That's number one. It's just too late. It's too late. I mean, you deal with that way back then. All of a sudden, here in the middle of nowhere, they decide to figure out what they do with that Pasuk of Nachman Yitzchak. That's number one.
It was a continuous
breath. It is not so far-fetched. Although the bigger problem is what you had asked before, which is, what do the Rabbanan do with Behemah B'chlal Chayat Torah? So Tosafot says in Vekasha LePerushol Amim Tinat Kan BeOd Habalei the Mivayel Nami the Rabbanon Krah the Rabbi Yitzchak says on top of that, what about the pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak? They asked about the pasuk of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. What about the pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak? What do they do with that pasuk? How come we don't ask them about that issue? So Tosafot leans in favor of the girsa being this. Venira kegirsat asfarim degarse hanicha the Rabbi Meir. That works well according to Rabbi Meir. This is your question, Shaul. That works well according to the limud that Rabbi Meir had. Alelo Rabbanon, ma ikal meimar. Not the gears that we have here, which is ulu Rabbanon, high crawl lomali, but rather, ma ikal meimar. It's not a pasuk. Ma ikal meimar. What are you going to say about this? Beima Torah, bichlal chaya Torah. This last limud is ma ikal meimar. Klomar, amai itstra klolula de beima Torah, bichlal chaya Torah. Why do I need that for? Because they don't have this din of Yitzirah. They don't have this din of Rabbi Meir. So what do they do with it? The answer to that is, Kule derek Rabbi Ato. It all comes from Rabbi. Meaning that both Beimot Torah and Beimat Meya, which are sub-series of Chayat Meya, they're both the same limud. I mean, it's a one big limud. Beima, Bichlal Chaya, both for Torah and Tmeya is going to teach us the same thing, which is this extraneous need for Beima when I have Chayat Meya mentioned, and we're going to use it for that gzeira shava. It's a weaker answer. It's probably what pushed Rashi not to use this answer, because is that really an answer? We're looking for a particular limud, our behema Torah, being a subset of chaya Torah. In the end, the Gemara says, oh, it's kolar Rabbi Ata. Well, Rabbi explained to us why behema tmeya is bichlal chaya tmeya. Why is that relevant? They didn't explain to us why behema Torah, bichlal chaya Torah. The Gemara's answer is it's all one big mush. So everything, Behemah b'chlal chaya, it doesn't matter if it's Tmeya, it doesn't matter if it's Torah, it's all one big picture, and therefore they're going to use Rabbi as their reasoning for that portion of the Braita. You see here, it's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, what this last line of the Gemara is coming to address. Next Mishnah is dealing with a lot of Tumat Tara, dealing with some Tumat Amet, and Tumat Blua, Tumat Starim. It's a little bit of a difficult Gemara, we'll work through it slowly, hopefully we'll hold on tight and we'll get through it. Aisha, so now here, instead of before we had the behema, where we have the mother with the fetus that passed away inside, over here we have a case of a Mishnah, Aisha, she made Vlada betoch mea. Here she has a stillborn, she has a baby inside, a fetus inside that has now passed away. Upashta chayat yada v'nagabo. So instead of being the ro'eh, the shepherd sticking his hand in to touch the fetus that is dead inside, here you have the midwife placing her hand inside and touching that fetus that is inside of the mother. Ha'chaya tmeya tumat shiva. The midwife is now tamei tumata meit, and she's tumat shiva. Va'isha Torah. On the other hand, the mother who is carrying this fetus remains Torah ad sheyetze avlad, until she actually births this stillborn. Until the fetus comes out, she will remain Torah. Question of why she will remain Torah, there are two possibilities here. One is that it's tumat starim. Tumat starim means that something that has contact with an individual, but it's in an area where it's not visible, it's not apparent, it's not outside. So here, the contact the fetus is having with the mother is in beta starim, is in somewhere that's not visible, something that's not open, not on the outside. And therefore, her contact with the vlad is not considered real contact. It's not real maga. And since it's not real maga, that would be tumat beta starim. Tumat beta starim is not mitama, the mother. The other possibility is tumat blua. Tumat blua is something where tumat is totally encapsulated inside of a human being. And that is not mitame. That doesn't create tumat, does not allow for the tumat to come out until it's discharged from the human being. That's what the Gemara is about to discuss.
In some cases, you have to
separate between the chaya and the mother. Why the isha is different.
The distinction between the midwife and the woman herself, that will be discussed by the Gemara. By why by one of them we do apply tumat beta starim or tumat blua, and why by the other we don't apply that din of tumat blua utumat beta starim.
So Amar Rabba, k'shem shetuma blua ena mitama, just like tuma that is encapsulated does not create tuma. Kach tahara blua. So too, something that is tahor, that is also encapsulated, that is inside of the being. Eino mitam'a. Cannot receive tuma. So just like tuma cannot be projected out, something that tamei, that is encapsulated inside of the human being. So too, something that is tahor, cannot receive tuma inside of the human being. Now the Gemara is going to explain all of this to us. It's going to give all the background to what we're discussing right now. So number one, Tuma Blua Minolon. How do we know that Tuma Blua is not Mitamei Dichtiv? It says, Va'uchel min Nivlata Yichabes Bigadav. Someone who eats min Nivelata, right from the Nivela, then you have to be Mechabes Bigadav. Milog Askinan. Aren't we dealing with a case? Ba'achal Samuch Lishkiyat HaChama. Person ate immediately before Shkiyah. When someone comes into contact with a Nivela, someone who eats a Nivela, what is the din of the Tumah? They have Tumat Yom. Tumat Yom means that I'm Tameh for that day. Once I go to the mikveh and the sun sets on that day, I'm Tahor. Tahor Legamer. So let's come up with this scenario. We have a scenario here where a person ingested Nivela. If you ingest the Nivela, not only are you Tameh from Tumat Maga, you also Tameh Tumat Masa, meaning that you have your clothing also becomes Tameh. So that's a Yichabes Bigadav. He has to clean his clothing, meaning he has to go to the mikveh, his clothing has to go to the mikveh. The sun sets and he's tohar. So he ingested this nevela right before sunset. V'kamar rachmana, tohar. That if you go to the mikveh, and then the sun sets, you're tohar. And despite the fact that inside of your body, there is a full-fledged piece of nevela that's still there, that's intact, undigested piece of nevela that's just sitting there.
That's tuma blua.
Right, that's tuma blua. So why aren't you tamei? You aren't tamei because it's tumah that has been encapsulated, swallowed, digested by you, ingested by you. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'dilma shani hatam. Maybe the problem here is delo chazir the ger. It's not ra'ui anymore for a ger. So that has to do with what the Torah prescribes one does with the nevela. It says, lo tochlu kol nevela. Don't eat any nevela. The ger asher bisharecha titnenu. You give it to the ger. Or throw it out to the dogs. So you're allowed to give the nevela to the ger toshav or to the dogs. There's a machloket about what that means, that you give it to the ger or you give it to the dogs. That is what the status of a nevela is. When is something called a nevela? Is a nevela only when the ger can eat it? Is it considered a nevela? Or is it, even to the point where a dog would eat it, is it considered a nevela? So Gemara says, Hanicha, that works well according to Rabbi Yochanan. Damar achadzu vachadzu. When something has tumat nevela, doesn't matter ad kelev shapir. Until it's no longer ra'ui la'achilat kelev, it retains its status of nevela. As long as at front, up front, it was ra'ui la'ger, then it gets a shame nevela. A shame nevela will not leave it until it's pasul la'achilat kelev. So then we're fine over here. You ingested this piece of nevela. Alright, sure enough, it went into your stomach. If you were to now somehow cough it up, it's a little disgusting, but a dog would have no problem eating it. And since a dog would have no problem eating it, it still has the status of a nevela. The status of nevela, and then I have a proof that tumat nevela is not mitameh. Elo la bar pado. What about bar pado? I argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Damar tumah chamura leger. V'tumah kala ad lekelef. Wait, there's a distinction. This is something that we learned before. That nevela has what's called tumah chamura, which is that it's able to be metameh, and also if you ingest it, and are coming to masa, come to contact with it, it's metameh bigadim. That's only when it's still ra'ui leger. When it's ra'ui leger, it has the full power of tumat nevela. On the other hand, once it becomes pasul leger, where it's still ra'ui lekelev, it drops down a level and becomes a rushan letumah. What we call it, it's no worse than a maga nevela. It's no worse than something that came into contact with the nevela. A nevela being an avatuma. So if you come into contact with it, you are rishon the tuma. He says that when it's pasul ger, but still ra'ui the kelev, it drops a level down to rishon the tuma. If it drops down to rishon the tuma cannot be metame adam. Rishon the tuma is not metame adam. It's metame ochlim, but it's not metame an adam or kelim. It's only metame ochlim. Well, if that's the case, now I have a problem. I don't have a proof anymore. Because I ingested, someone ingested this nevela, then they coughed it up. It's no longer ra'ui la'achilat adam, it's ra'ui la'achilat kelev. But with ra'ui la'achilat kelev, the only thing that's left, it's a rishon letuma. A rishon letuma is not metamei adam. The reason you're not tamei when you go to the mikveh and the sun sets is, this can't be metamei an adam anymore. It can only be metamei ochlim. So that's the reason you're not tamei, not because it's blua, it's because it's dropped its status. This nevela has dropped the status according to parpada. So what are you going to do now? Again, ela parpada damar tuma chamur leger v'tuma kala lekelev shum lo dechazia gerhu. The reason you're not tamei now is because it's no longer ro'oi for a ger. It's only ro'oi lekelev. Mar says, wait a minute, no. Nihidalo chazia bifanav. That's if he saw it. If he saw you swallow it and cough it up, he wouldn't need it. But shalom bifanav micha chazile. If he never saw you swallow it, and immediately, or, you know, shortly after you swallowed it, you coughed it up, and it wasn't digested at all. If you washed it off and didn't tell the ger that you had swallowed it, he would eat it. I mean, it's not that it's not ra'ui la'achilat adam. It's disgusting. That's why he wouldn't eat it. So if he saw it being coughed up, he wouldn't eat it. But objectively, this meat is still ra'ui la'achilat adam. It's just because it's ma'us that nobody would eat it, but if he didn't see it and he didn't know about it, it wouldn't be so ma'us to him and he would eat it. So therefore, even according to Bar Pada, it would retain the status of nevela, a nevela in its full force, and therefore we prove that tuma blu'a does not create tuma in the adam. So that's it. Ashkachan tuma blu'a. So now we solve the problem. Now we know that tuma blu'a is not mitame. Tara blu'a minolan. How do I know that something that is tahor inside of the adam does not accept tuma? How do I know that? Kal v'chomer. Every kal v'chomer. Uma kli cheres hamukaf tamid patil. A kli cheres which is sealed entirely, completely sealed, she'enu matzil ala tum'a shibtocho militame, does not protect tum'a inside of it from causing tum'a to come project outwards. Damar mar, we have a statement by a Mishnah in Olot, and we see it all over Shas, that tum'a ritzutza bukat vola adarakia. Tum'a that does not have a space of an ohel, doesn't have an oil over it, that's a tefach by a tefach by a tefach, tefach cubed, that tum'a projects upward and downward. We know that by tum'at tamet, there are different ways to become tamet from tum'at tamet, coming into contact with it. There's also another way to become tamet, tum'at tamet, is to be ma'ahil alav, to make an ohel over it, or it to make an ohel over you. Now that's only true when there's no ohel encapsulating the tum'at tamet. If there's an ohel encapsulating tum'at tamet, it will not extend beyond the ohel. It will not go above the ohel. So if you have an ohel over a mate, tum'at tamet, then if you go above that ohel, you're not tamei, because the ohel stops the tumah from going up. On the other hand, if there's no ohel above the tumah tameit, the tumah goes ad shemayim, all the way until the rakia. Anybody who passes over that tumah will consider like na'ahil ala meit. So here we have a case where you have a piece of meit inside, or you have a meit inside of a kli cheres that is totally sealed. What's the din? The din is that tumah projects outward, everywhere, up, straight up to shemayim. If you go over, if an individual would walk over this kli cheres, they'd be tamei, tumat to ohel. So now, matzio, nevertheless, it was the opposite way around. What happens if the tumah was on the outside, and the taharot were on the inside? Matzio ala taharah shebetocho militamei. We know that that's the case. The case of a tumat ohel. Case of a tumat ohel where you have a kli cheres inside that is encapsulated, totally sealed. Anything that's found inside of that kli cheres is protected from tumat tamet. So even though the kli cheres cannot stop the projection of tumah outward, it can protect against tumah coming inward. Adam shematzil tumah shibtocho militamei, an adam who stops tumah from exiting him, from projecting outward, eino din shematzil tara shibtocho, certainly militamei, he certainly should protect against that which is tahor inside of him becoming tamei. How do we know that tumah inside of an adam does not project outwards? That's what we just learned in the previous limud, that tumah blua is not mitameh. So if we say tumah blua is not mitameh, then certainly it should have the din like the chicheres to protect the taharot that are inside of him. Meaning, if an adam swallowed something, walked into a mate, even though the adam became tameh tumat mate, nevertheless the item inside of him would not become tameh tumat mate. It would be protected. It'd be encapsulated and protected and not accept tumat tamei. Mar says, wait a minute. You're saying this is a kal v'chomer, assuming that kli cheres is more chamor than an adam. Is that really true? Malik kli cheres, she'ein mitamei migabo. Right, the automatic assumption here is that it's a kal v'chomer, because if a kli cheres works this way, then certainly an adam should work this way. Wait a minute. Kli cheres has an unusual aspect to it. Kli cheres has the aspect, she'ein mitamei migabo. It does not accept tumah from its outside. Doesn't accept tumah from the outside, so maybe, tomar ba'adam shematamei migabo, an adam is mekabel tumah from any side. Doesn't matter, in back front. There's no gabo here would be his back front. Doesn't matter for any adam. Oh, so that's the Gemara's answer. Gemara says, anon migabo kamrinan mitocho kamrinan. We're not talking about his back. We're talking about mitocho is inside. And when it comes to tocho, adarabba, kli cheres chamor. Kli cheres is even more chamor. Shekei mitamei ma'aviro. It's mekabel tumor ma'aviro. And there, even though it's mitamei ma'aviro, it still protects against tumah coming in and hurting something that's tohor inside. Certainly, by an adam, where aviro is irrelevant, then certainly he should be able to protect that which is tohor inside of him. So now the Gemara says, Ashkechan blua de lamalo. I only now know about something that was ingested through the mouth. Ma la blua de lamato, minolan. How do I know if something was like a suppository, was inserted from the rectum, from the other side of the digestive tract? How do I know that's also protected inside of the human being? Kavachomer. Umala mala she'enu ose equal. Up above, when you ingest it from the mouth, there is no real digestion that goes on. But matzil, there it still saves it. The mato, if I somehow insert it from the rectum, here it seems to me they must have reached some point of the digestive tract that he pushed it into. So osei kol, the mato where the actual digestion takes place, enu din shematzil, certainly it should protect it over there. And it says, klum osei kol the mato elei de lamalo. Wait a minute, digestion only happens when somebody ingests something from their mouth, not when you insert it from the rectum. It says, afilu ochi equal to the mato rav. Nevertheless, the digestive process down below is much greater than that which takes place above. So now we know that no matter how this item was inserted into the Adam or ingested into the Adam and made into blua, whether it's ingested through the mouth or through the rectum it was placed in, either way it's protected at this point in time when it's inside of the Adam. Mara says now, ashkechan blua da Adam. Now we know that's true of an Adam. Blua de behema minolan. How do I know that's also true by behema? Behema that ingests an item, swallows something. How do I know that the behema protects that item from becoming tamei as well as stops it from projecting its tumah outward? How do I know that's true by a behema if it's true by Adam? It says, Kal b'chomer. Ma Adam shemitamei mechayim. A human being can become tamei while they're alive. Nevertheless, matzil ba'balua. They still, balua works with the Adam. It protects the thing that is tahor inside of him, and he stops the tumah from projecting outwards. Behema she'eno mitama mechayim. That does not become tamei mechayim. An animal while it's alive can never become tamei. An animal's tumah only begins from the moment it dies. From that point forward, it can be mekabel tumah either because of tumah tochlim or because it has tumat nevela. Either way, its tumah only begins after death. While it's alive, a behemah will never become tameh. So over there, if it never becomes tameh, b'chayim enu din shetatzil ba'balua. So certainly, it should protect against being balua. So Mar says, we have a chumra by Adam that may not allow that. Ma Adam, shekein tzarech shiya bebeitam nuga. We have this kula by Adam, which is when you enter into a house that has nigayim. House that has nigayim in it basically functions like a house that has a mate in it. It has equivalent of tumata mate, meaning that if you enter into a house that has a nega in it, you become tamei immediately, like you would when you're entering into an ohel mate. Same way. So when you enter in, you become tamei. An individual becomes tamei. On the other hand, if the individual is wearing clothing, the clothing does not become tamei ad shishia, until you remain in there for a period of time. That has to do with the way the psukim talk about ba'ochel, one who eats. The Gemara wants to know, why do you need ba'ochel, eating? What is that relevant to the fact that you're entering into Beit Hamnuga? The Gemara therefore learns that only if a person remains in there the amount of time it takes to consume, we'll see what it is, echilat pras, if it remains there for that amount of time, then his clothing becomes tamei. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. Mala dam shken tzarich shia bebeit hamnuga. An individual enters into a house that has nigayim. Over there, he becomes tamei immediately. But he must wait the amount of time of echilat pras, chatzi kikar shel eruv, the half of a kikar of an eruv, which is the mazon shtei seudot, according to Rashi, is shmona beitzim, according to the Rambam, is six beitzim. So you have half of that, you have to be the amount of time it would take to consume it. So over there, we have a kula by Adam, that his clothing does not become tamei. Whereas by a behema, as soon as it enters into the house of the nega, bebeit menuga, behema, deina tzricha shia bebeit menuga, the behema that enters into the beit menuga, it and anything on it becomes tamei right away. That's a chumra by behema. Maybe you can't, therefore, learn from Adam to behema. Where it says, wait a minute, l'may hilchata. When we're talking about a behema that doesn't need shia, what are we talking about over there? We're talking about the clothing or the items that it's transporting on its back. Guess what? Animals don't wear clothes. Animals don't wear clothes, therefore the din of wearing clothes is not relevant to them. They're always carrying whatever it is that's on their back. They're not wearing anything. Well, you know what? By an Adam, the din is exactly the same. The difference between an Adam carrying something and wearing it is exactly that differential that you have between Behemah and Adam, which is Adam Nami Loboi over there, and Adam will not also need to wait. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Nichnas the Beit Amnuga. Someone who enters into a house has a nega in it. V'kelav al ktefav. He has his clothing on his shoulder. V'sandalav etabotav biyadav. He's carrying his shoes and his rings. Who? V'dhein tmeim miyad. They are immediately tamei. Because he's just like the behemah. When you're carrying something in, there is no protection of the clothing, there's no protection of what you have, everything becomes tamei immediately. On the other hand, hayulo vush kelav, he's wearing his clothing. V'sandalav, he has his shoes on his feet. V'raglav, v'tabutav, v'etzvo, and he's wearing his rings. Hu tamei miyad, he's tamei immediately. V'hein torim, achishe, b'klei achilat pras. He is tamei immediately. His clothing, anything he's wearing, has to wait the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf of bread. Pat chitim velo pat sorim. What is that amount? That amount of time is when we're talking about wheat bread, not barley bread, which is easier to eat. It's much easier on the person to swallow, to eat, to consume. Mesev ochel, where he's laying, you know, down and ready to eat. Beliftan, and with a dip. Again, easing the amount, the speed by which he could consume this bread are all these items. So that's the amount of time that we're talking about here. But what you see is that distinction between clothing and the individual is only where you wear clothing. If you're carrying in the clothing, the same din will apply to a human being as a behemah. Since a behemah can never wear clothing, the relevance of its clothing becoming tamei miyad is the same din you would have by an adam. And therefore, there's no chumrah by behemah, it's the same din. And therefore, we're going to learn a kal v'chomer about tumah blu'ah by adam to behemah. And just like it works by an adam, it works by a behemah. Alright, so now, we get back to Rabbah's statement. Rabbah's statement, we have all the background to deal with Rabbah. We have these statements about Tumah Blu'ah. That Tumah Blu'ah, we know it works to protect against Tumah going out, exiting the human. We also know that it protects against Tumah entering the human being, that which is inside of him is protected. And Rabbah made a statement now. K'shem shim Tumah Blu'ah ina mitama. Just like Tumah Blu'ah does not project Tumah outwards, kach tara Blu'ah ina mitama. So too, something which is Tahor inside is not become Tameh. But wait a minute, we just went and investigated this, and everything that we said is a Mishnah. I mean, anything that Rabbah just told us, all the information Rabbah told us are Mishnayot. And that's Rabbah's question here. Amar Rabbah, Tarvayu Taninu. We have all of these Mishnayot. Tumah Blu'ah Tanina, Tahara Blu'ah Tanina. These dinim that Rabbah introduced to us, that first of all, Tumah Blu'ah inside of the human being does not project outwards. And number two, that something that's Tahor inside of the human being is protected from becoming Tameh. Both of those pieces of information which Rabbah produced for us, and then we went and investigated where we know it from, both of those pieces of information are found in Mishnayot. Tumah Blu'ah, where's Tumah Blu'ah found? It's none. We have in Mishnah Mikvos, Bolo Tab'at, person swallows a ring, Tmeah, now it's a Tab'at, it is Tamei, according to Rashi, Tamei Tumata Meit, Tamei Tumata Meit, Tovel, Vochel B'Trumato. He goes to the mikveh, and he can eat his Truma. Hekiah. If he then spits it back up, rejects the ring comes back up, tmeah, then the ring is again tamei, it remains tamei, the ring itself remains tamei, vitamato, individual becomes tamei again. So here's a case where he swallows the ring. When he swallowed the ring, he came into contact with it. This ring was tamei tumatameit. Now, how can a ring be tamei tumatameit? It came into contact with something that was tamei mate, so the ring should be a rishon l'tuma. Came into contact with an Ava Tuma, now it should be a Rishon L'Tuma. But as Shaul correctly pointed out, we have a din by metallic objects, Cherev Harehu Kechulau, that the Cherev, metallic objects, take on the same level of Tuma to the item that they came into contact with. That means if the metal comes in contact directly with the mate itself, it will be an Avi Avota Tuma, just like the mate. If it comes into contact with something that's Tamei mate, it will remain Tamei mate. And therefore, this ring is Tamei Meit, and can be Mitamei Li'adam. Otherwise, if it was a Rishon L'Tuma, the ring would have no impact on a human being. Because a ring having an impact on a Rishon L'Tuma has no impact on making an Adam Tamei. It has to be an Ava Tuma to make him Tamei. So that's what Rashi points out. This ring came into contact with something that was an Ava Tuma, and it itself is an Ava Tuma. So since this ring is an Ava Tuma, it can be Mitamei Li'adam. And that's what happened here. He touched the ring, and went to swallow it. So when he swallowed it, the ring came into contact with him, he became Tamei, he's a Rishon Tumah. Then he goes to the mikveh, and now he can eat his Truma. But then all of a sudden he spits back up the ring. When he spits back up the ring now comes into contact with him again. The ring remained Tamei, because he was never Nitaher. You never did the Tara process for the ring, you only did the Tara process on the Adam himself. So the Adam himself went through the process of Tara, but the ring itself never got that process of Tara. So the ring remains Tamei Beit. So when he spits it up again, he becomes Tamei again, and the ring itself remains Tamei. But what do you see in the interim? While it was inside of him, he could eat Truma. He was Tahor. When he did the process of Tara, he was completely Tahor as long as the ring was inside of him. So that tells you, or that Mishnah tells you, that Tuma Blua is not Mitamei. Doesn't cause Tuma to be rejected outward. So there's the Mishnah about Tuma Blua.
The way that we explain the Gemara here is based on a question that was posited by the Rishash, and that is that the ring came into contact with something that was Tamei Mate and not the mate itself. The reason to do that is that the Mishnah in Mikvaot says that the person just has to go to the mikveh, and after they go to the mikveh, they can eat Truma. Well, that's only true with someone who comes to contact with a Tamei Mate. That's not true of someone who comes in contact with a mate. Someone who comes into contact with a mate has to do Hazat Shlishi and Shvi'i in order to become Tahor. So what's the Mishnah talking about? Simply going to the mikveh. And we see that in the next Mishnah that we brought down, by the Mishnah by the Tahor, there it talked about Shlishi and Shvi. The fact that it's absent in the first case makes it sound like that this individual doesn't need to be Matar himself from Tumatameh. But just know that Rashi and Tosafot don't seem to learn that way. Both Rashi and Tosafot say that here the ring came to contact with the mate itself. And when it comes into contact with the mate itself, the ring is Avi Avota Tumah. A ring that's Avi Avota Tumah then can convey Tumat Shiva. It causes anybody who comes to contact with it to have Tumat Shiva, and when they have Tumat Shiva, they need Shlishi and Shvi, which is absent from the Mishnah. Tosafot, you look, there's a large Tosafot that goes on to the next Amud, says that, Ein Ochanami, and in that Mishnah, even though it's absent, it just talks about the mikveh. Truthfully, that's the mikveh after he's done the Shlishi and Shvi, and that's what Tosafot assumes. Generated from that is a problem for Rashi Shita, and Tosafot asks a number of questions we'll see later on Rashi Shita, that we're talking about a ring that's inside and talking about Tumat Beit Hasdarim, based on the fact that we're talking about Tumah of the mate himself. And therefore, Tosafot changes the pshat in the last part of the Gemara, which we're about to read. On the other hand, we could explain Rashi, following the shita of the Rambam, which is that kelim that come into contact with a mate itself, even though they take on the properties of the mate and become an avi avota tumah, nevertheless, ein mitamim lo ba'oel b'lo b'masa. They only create that tumah, pass that tumah through maga, not through oel and masa, and that would take away all the questions Tosafot will ask on Rashi. Just giving you a broad perspective, I explained the Gemara according to what makes the most sense, the most logical way to explain the Gemara based on the Mishnah and Mikvaot, but just know that Rashi and Tosafot both don't explain the Gemara that way, and Rashi, in explaining that way the Gemara, presents a huge problem for his own Shita, which Tosafot questions. The answer could be that he holds like the Rambam, even though that Shita of the Rambam is not so clear and not so easy. The fact that there's no Tumat Masa or Tumat Ohel by these Kelim, because then you can't bring a proof from Tumat Blua from here. Because over here, Tumat Blua would have no impact, meaning that there would be nothing that being projecting outwards from here that you would have to worry about. So that would present a whole different series of problems. That's why I explained to Gemara, we're talking about a ring that came into contact with something or someone that was Tamei Tumat Hamait, which would make it an Avatuma, not an Avi Avota Tuma.
Now, Tara Blua, we also have a Mishnah that's not Balatabat, someone Teora. Here's a case where he swallowed a Tahor ring. V'nichnas l'olamet. Then he enters into the olamet viza vishana. Then he does hazah shlishi and shvi'i. V'taval, goes to the mikveh. V'ikia, arehi kemet mosh mashaita. The ring remains in its original status. So here you have an Adam, went into an olamet, became tamei from tumatamet. He was in olamet, there was a ring, a Tahor ring inside of him. Then he goes to his Matarim himself, he spits up the ring. What's the status of that ring? Completely Tahor. Why is it completely Tahor? He went into an Olam Mate. Why is it Tahor? Must be because Tara Blua is protected from becoming Tamei. The reason that the individual himself had to become Tahor before he spit up the ring is because if the individual was Tamei and then he spit up the ring then came into contact with the individual and the ring would be Tamei from becoming in contact with the human being. That would be the problem. But now, where he's completely Tahor, then spits up the ring remains Kamashaita, exactly like it was before. So now, we have two Mishnayot that say exactly what Rabbah is telling us. Well, if they're telling us what Rabbah's not telling us anything new. He's telling us information that are found in Mishnayot. What do we need Rabbah for? So the answer to the Gemara is, Ki Kama Rabbah. Case of Rabbah is, Kigon Shibola Shtei Taba'ot. This individual was, it was the, we call him the ring ingester. Not the ring jester, but the ingester. He swallowed achat tmeya v'achat tehora. He ingested both a tamei ring as well as a tahor ring. One that was tmeya, one was tehora. The lo mitamela mitam'a l'tahara, the Torah. That the inside of this individual, he now has a tamei ring and a tahor ring bouncing around. Not at the same time, obviously, because then they would have come into contact already. It's a case where they're inside of him, they're coming into contact inside of him. What is the din when they're inside of him? Well, the Mishnayot really don't address that issue. The Mishnayot address individually rings. They don't address the issue where both rings are inside of him. So in that case, what's the din? That's what Rabbah comes to teach us, that both rings, the rings remain in their status, meaning that one ring, the one that's tahor, remains tahor, the one that is tamei, remains tamei, but the two don't come into contact, meaning that there's no contact inside. Rashi claims the difference between what we learned in the Mishnayot versus what we can learn from Rabbah is the difference between Tumat Beit Hasdarim versus Tumat Blua. We could have argued until this point in time that the reason that the Mishnayot say that you are tahor is because we have what's called Maga Beit Hasdarim. You have contact that is in an invisible place. The contact between you and the ring is taking place in your digestive system. That's what we call Maga Starim. So therefore, the reason that when you ingest a ring that is tamei and it's inside of you, it doesn't project tuma outward, is because the ring is now in contact with you in a place that is beseter, that is covered up. Therefore, the tuma does not project outwards because the maga beit hasdarim. Same thing the other way around. The reason that a tahor ring is protected inside of you is because you, who become tamei, are contacting the ring or are coming together with the ring by tumat beit hasdarim. I would have thought that's the reason behind the Mishnayot. The reason that the rings are protected inside of you are because there's no tumat maga beit hasdarim. Well, if that's true, then let's take the next step. The case of Rabbah. The case of Rabbah is, I have two rings inside of my stomach. There, that's not tumat maga beit hasdarim. Because it's equivalent to putting two rings into a kufsa, into a, some sort of utensil that's kept in them. If the rings come into contact with each other there, that's not maga beit hasdarim. The rings themselves are openly touching each other. It's just they're inside of a kufsa. So too here, inside of you, the rings are coming into contact, that's not called maga beit hasdarim. So if I only knew the Mishnayot, I would have concluded that the ring is tameh. The ring is tameh because it had tumat maga inside of you, and that wasn't maga beit hasdarim. Along comes Rabbah to tell you, no, the reason behind Mishnayot is tumat blua. Tumat blua means that when it's inside of you, it's not because of maga, it's that it loses its status inside of you. There is no status of a kli inside of you. And therefore it's protected, both when it's individually inside, as well as when they're both inside of you. Tuma just doesn't function, blua, doesn't function when it's inside of you. That's the answer. That's what Rabbah adds for us. Rabbah adds for us that additional dimension. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi right away, because Rashi just told us about the case where you have metal that comes into contact by Tumata mate. You have metal in contact with you, Tuma's ola bokava yoredet. Even inside of a human being, that Tuma should extend outwards. It doesn't matter about being maga beit hasdarim. Maga beit hasdarim is not relevant when it comes to tuma. Tuma is relevant when you're trying to contact tuma. But there are other tumot that pass even without maga. They pass through tuma to oel. They pass through other ways of functioning of passing tuma, masa. Rashi claims that there is no tumat masa here. Tosfos disagrees with that. Therefore, Tosfos says this. Tosfos says that the difference between the Mishnayot and Rabbah are this. Yes, the Mishnayot believe that Tumah Blua is the reason. The reason that Tumah is protected inside of you and doesn't project outwards is because Tumah Blua. The reason that the ring inside of you is Tahor, because of Tara Blua. That's the protection. But what we would have known from the Mishnayot is simply that an individual item that's in there is protected from the outside. Tumah inside of you doesn't extend outward. Tara inside of you, nothing extends inward. What we don't know about is two items in contact inside of the Blua. What's the status of that? The Mishnayot don't address that issue by blua. Does blua mean as if we put everything on hold and there's no such thing as tuman tara inside of you? Or is it just that this single item is protected inside of you? It's protected from projecting tuma outward or receiving tuma, but not that tuman tara is shut off. That way, what's the nafkamina case when you have two rings inside of you? Two rings inside of you, do we say tuman tara is completely shut off and therefore their contact is irrelevant? Or do I say that no, it's just protecting from the outside. Therefore, when they're inside of you, they would come in contact and be a problem. That's Rabbah's Chiddush. Rabbah's Chiddush comes to teach you something the Mishnayot don't tell you. Mishnayot tell you about individual items, Biblua. They don't tell you about two items, Biblua. Is Tuman Tara totally shut off? Rabbah comes along to tell us, yes, That's the extension of the Mishnayot. Tumah Blua is totally shut off. That means when you have something Tameh and something Tahor inside of you, they will not be relevant to each other at that point in time. Therefore, they're shut off. Or we'll stop here. The sugya continues, but we'll stop here at this point, just explaining Rava's position.